the Lord has given us. And if you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us, Proverbs in the 14th chapter, we're going to read a couple verses here. This is not our reading text, but this is where we want to get our basis from this morning, I guess. Proverbs in the 14th chapter and the 11th verse. Probably very familiar reading, very familiar thought. I'm sure it's been preached many, many times. And this message that I have is timeless. It is something that has not changed and it will not change. And I'm thankful for that. Proverbs, the 14th chapter and the 11th verse says this: "The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright, it shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I'd like for you to keep that in mind this morning, but I would also like for you to turn with us to Revelations in the second chapter. Revelations in the second chapter, and the Lord was writing to several different churches, and this was the first church that He wrote to. These are the Lord's words. They are written in red in my Bible. I believe that He wrote these to these churches. Obviously, He had some things that He wanted to say, and when I get through reading this, I'll give you my thoughts on a few things. The Revelations in the second chapter. It's to the church at Ephesus, and it says this: "Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitanes, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And if we could title this this morning, it would be "An Old-Fashioned Church in a Modern World." An old-fashioned church in a modern world. And I want to say this morning that I do not believe that Mount Calvary has left her first love. I certainly believe that Mount Calvary's first love is Jesus Himself, Christ Himself. If it's not, we really need to do some praying. But I believe that Christ is our first love. I also believe that we have a first love for lost people. I believe that on our hearts and our minds always should be the lost, and having them be saved before it's everlasting too late. But obviously, the church at Ephesus, there was a problem there. The Lord had an ought against them. He had a problem that He saw there, and He knew that they had left the love that they had for Him. He knew no longer were they serving Him in the way that they needed to. And as I told you, our thought this morning is an old-fashioned church in a modern world. I believe more than anything this morning that the world needs more old-fashioned. The world needs less modern and more old-fashioned. And you can say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I think today the world has turned things all around. We live in a very modern world, in everything that there is: computers, technology, cars, houses. It's all modern in the world that we live in. But I'm going to say today that God's church, the Word of God, cannot change, because God does not change. It's an old-fashioned church in a modern world. We use the term old-fashioned a lot of times, and maybe it's not the best term. Fashions, they change. But this old-fashioned way that we have this morning, it cannot change. The Word of God says that it will not. I believe if God won't change, His church will not change. And I'm going to say this today, that I don't believe every church that has church above the door is one of the Lord's churches. I believe the Lord has His. I believe the Lord loves His churches. And I believe that God strives with the churches that seriously want to follow Him. But the church at Ephesus had left their first love. There's a lot of people today that are leaving
their first love. They're leaving out God Himself. They're leaving out the most important parts of the Scripture. We've got people today that are teaching everything under the sun except the true plan of salvation. I'm going to say today that repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, has not changed and will not change. It's an old-fashioned church in a modern world. People today want to change everything. And I believe that change is good in some aspects. I'll say this. There are traditions in our church that I love. I love the singing in our churches. I do. I love the singing that we do with our hymnals and our pianos and things of that nature. But the world has taken that and they have dragged it through the mud. And today worship in a lot of places does not resemble true worship of God. You know, I believe more than anything that God can use things for His honor and His glory. I believe He can do that. I believe He can take anything and use it for His honor and glory. I believe He does. I like our traditions. I do. I stand behind the traditions that we have. And I'll say this about worship. I believe today that God can use all kinds of instruments. I have no problem with instruments in the Lord's churches. I have no problem whatsoever with them, as long as they are used in a way that gives God honor and glory. If it doesn't give Him honor and glory, they have no room in our churches. I'll say this and go one step further. I believe today worship in a lot of places is no longer about the first love. It's more about who's doing it instead of who they're doing it for. We're living in a world that is no longer old-fashioned in its values. If you look back many, many years ago, long before I was born, people were more selfless than they are today. We're living in a world that is so selfish, they want everything for themselves and have no cause for anybody else. It was about who they were serving instead of them being served themselves. I'm not saying today that we need to go back to the little square buildings that have no plumbing, because I thank God today that the Lord has blessed us with the building that He has. And I want to say this morning. People today look at churches, they look at the buildings, and they say, well, that's the church. They'll call us a modern church because of some of the amenities that God has allowed us to have that we can use for His honor and His glory. They'll say they're modern. I'm going to say today the doctrines of the church make a church. The things, the building that it's in, it does not make a church, nor the things that is worshipped with. What makes a church is what it teaches. If the church doesn't teach old-fashioned, old path doctrine that Jeremiah says, stand in the old paths and see. It says stand in them. When the world says they won't, we must stand in the old paths. The world today is looking toward the modern things. I'm going to say today, I enjoy my iPhone. It's shiny, it's pretty, it works nice. Love it. I use it way more than I should. I love my iPad. Wonderful technology. I love my MacBook computer. Wonderful technology. People have been given things to utilize in this world to further advance other things in this world. But I'm going to say today that God's church doesn't need the modern things of this world, because God Himself is still here. He is still the one that preaches and teaches, and it's still His doctrine. It's still His church. As long as it's His, as long as it's in this world, it is of Him. And when He wrote to the church at Ephesus, I believe it broke His heart. I believe He looked at him and He said, I know that thou art still laboring. I know that thou hast patience and cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And is born and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. You're doing a work, but you're not doing my work, because you have left your first love. I'm going to contend this morning that God's churches, God's true churches, I believe that they are contending for the faith that is once delivered unto the saints. I believe that a church that is God's is still teaching that one must repent for salvation. I believe that a true church of God is still teaching that it takes faith to get saved. I don't believe one is teaching that you can accept Christ and get saved. I don't believe that's one of his. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of places today that wear the Missionary Baptist name, talk a real good talk, make it sound real good until you get down to the end and they say, well, if you'll just accept Christ, you'll be okay. No, you will not. If you don't teach that one must be born again, it is not God's doctrine. Therefore, it is heresy and it's not the Lord's church. I believe in God's church still contending for the faith. I believe that, even if it takes my life. I believe on standing upon the doctrines that God has for us. I still believe in baptism. I believe in baptism until the day they put me in the ground and I'm carried up to glory. I believe it's essential for a church to baptize people that had been saved and led into the Lord's church. I believe that the world has taken that and they have modernized it and they have said, if you'll be baptized, you'll be saved. No, you won't. No, you won't. We're an old-fashioned church in a modern world. And I'm going to say this. A lot of the things that we teach and we preach, they may sound a little old-fashioned. You tell somebody that they've got to seek the Lord with all of their heart, that they have to pour their heart out unto someone that is not in front of them, that they must pour their hearts out and repent for the things that they have done, repent because they are lost and sinners. You tell people that and it is not something that the world wants to hear. They want to hear how good that they've been. They want to hear how good that they are and how that God loves them. And I do believe that God loves people. But I also believe that you and I are sinners in need of salvation. I believe that with everything that is within me. And I'm going to tell you, us, an old-fashioned Missionary Baptist church versus the world, we're still teaching that, and the world is teaching everything but that. And how sad of a thing that it is. Oh, the church at Ephesus, you've left your first love. You've left it. But if you'll come back, if you'll repent, I will restore you. People today have different ideas on different churches, and I'm going to say today that I'm not preaching against anybody. I'm preaching against the world. The world has crept in to a lot of places, and they have replaced the things that God put in there. I believe a church, when God gives it a candlestick, I believe He sets it up and He says, work for me and teach my doctrines, teach the things that the Bible contends for, and if you'll do that, I will bless you. The Bible says that there will be ones that will creep in unaware. And that's happened down through the ages of time. Good old-fashioned churches, and I'm using that word again, we have a lot of names or monikers for churches. I believe with all of my heart that God has a true church. And I'm not going to say every Missionary Baptist church is one of the Lord. It's not popular to say that this morning. I believe there's a lot today that are not teaching a true doctrine that God is teaching. I believe you've got to find out what they're teaching. I believe you've got to know what they're teaching. I believe that's what's wrong with the world today. We're so easily accepting of everything that we forget that God has rules and regulations on the way to do almost everything. And if we'll follow them, He will bless us. He sure will. I believe that there's people today that are trying their hardest to teach God, but they're leaving out the most essential part, and that is salvation. I'm going to say today that I, as a pastor and a preacher, must teach the whole counsel of God. I must teach it all. And if I don't, woe unto me. But I can never get so far away from salvation and the doctrines of the cross that I preach anything else but Jesus Christ. That's got to be preached in our churches. It's got to be known that we are an old-fashioned church and we are not wavering from the things that God has put us upon. I believe the church was founded upon the rock. And I believe one that is founded upon God is His. And I believe He loves it. Over there in Proverbs, the first place that we read, And I'll go back there if the Lord will help us. It says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown. What a thought that is, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. And you might look at us today, the world might, and they might look down at Mount Calvary and they might say, well, they don't have a whole lot of people over there, and they don't have a whole lot of money over there, and the world would judge us and say, well, they're not doing very much. They're not doing a work because they're not over exploding with numbers. But I'm going to say today that God does not judge churches by its numbers. Never has. I don't believe you ever will. I believe what God judges a church on is following His Great Commission. When God set it up, He said, go ye therefore into all nations, teaching. And when you've taught them, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It didn't say baptize them and then teach them. It says tell them about salvation, and then when they get saved, you baptize them. Because I believe, as an old-time missionary Baptist, I believe in the leading hand of God. I very much believe that God leads His children. I believe that He leads His church. He's the head of it. It says that He is. I believe He's at the forefront. And I believe He's the one that needs to be led. He needs to be the leader of this. I want to say today also that I believe God's church, when it's led by Him, it can do great things. It may not be a multi-million dollar church building, and it may not have 500 people going to it, but if God's people are serving Him in the Spirit and in the truth, I believe God gets honor and glory out of that. I want to say today, the world has taken the Spirit and the truth out. I believe if we could have gone to Ephesus for a church service, we probably would have seen some things like that are going on today. Maybe we'd see somebody get up there in a nice suit and tie before you say, preacher, you're wearing a suit and tie. You might see somebody get up there. And I'm going to tell you, I love to be able to preach how good that God is. I do, because I believe that God is a great big God. And I believe He's a great good God. I believe He's far better to us than any of us really deserve. You want to know what we all really deserve? Every single one of us, lost and saved, if we got just exactly what we deserved, we would all die and go to hell. But because of His Son, we have salvation through the cross. That's the truth. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I believe when we know the truth, and those of us that have been saved, because we know the truth, it has set us free from the world. I believe that with everything that is within me. I do. But there's something else the world is leaving out of its churches, and that is the Spirit. The world doesn't want to hear anything about the Spirit. The Lord told him, He said, I go away to prepare you a place, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter. What was the comforter? It was His Holy Spirit that would dwell with us all the days of our life. And on the day of Pentecost, He gave it to the church. And since that day, the Lord's church has been the most powerful institution that there ever has been or ever will be. I believe that with everything that is within me, I believe God's church has the power of the Lord. I believe in the Spirit. I do. I believe that God's Spirit must lead, guide, and direct in everything that we do, from the very first song that is sung to the end of our prayer at the end of the service. I believe the Lord needs to lead in that. I believe in Holy Spirit-filled services because I believe in the Holy Spirit-filled people. Our church services reflect how spiritual that we are. And I'm going to say this today. I believe that we are a spiritual church. I've sat up here many times and I've been able to look out and see the Lord moving in people's hearts and their minds in the way that they look. When God's people are stirred up, the Lord will do great things. The Bible says that we should stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. I said that we're an old-fashioned church in a modern world. And you might say, preacher, if you want us to go back, brothers and sisters, I'm not looking back anymore. We cannot look back. Because what is done, but what we can do is stand upon God, stand upon His doctrines, and when we do that, the Lord's church will go on. It has to. We talked in Sunday school about the remnant and how I believe it was Elijah or Elisha said, Lord, I'm the only one, when he was running away from Jezebel. Lord, I'm the only one left. But the Lord said that there would be a remnant. It may not be a big remnant, but God's church will be here when He returns. And I'm going to tell you what I believe it will be. You know, in Proverbs it says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown. I don't believe it's going to be these places that the Lord sees people being brought down in masses and they're being confessed to something that they don't have. I don't believe those things will stand. It's like the foundation that is built upon the sand. The world is building their churches upon the sand, and someday they will be overthrown by the Lord. But His churches, they'll stand. I believe this. I believe very much so that the Lord's church is a leader in things. If you'll notice, old time churches have never been very large for the most part. There are some that are larger than others, and I'm not saying anything about bigger churches, because I believe the Lord wants His churches to grow. And I believe that with everything that is within me. I believe God's churches were meant to grow. But I'm certain today that God's churches were meant, no matter who was there or what was said or what was done, that the church must still be taught the doctrines that the Lord left for us. I believe that. You know, there are things that I have to preach sometime, and I'm going to tell you, I've lost quite a bit of sleep over this week, because I didn't want to preach about the old-fashioned church in a modern world, because it's not popular. The world don't want to hear it anymore. I'm going to be honest with you, they don't want to hear a preacher like me anymore. I preach a little bit louder than most people, I'm sure. And the world doesn't want that anymore. They want anything but a preacher that is led by the Spirit. They want people that'll just tell them how good that things are. And I'm going to tell you, when God allows me to preach how good that He is, I'm going to preach it. Because I believe that God is good, and you know that. I do. Oh, but it breaks my heart sometimes to look around. And everybody wants to say how good that God is. And then when something happens, people have these questions and they'll say, well, if God is so good, why would He let this happen or that happen? Oh, and it breaks my heart, because they have left out that God is a vengeful God. That God will get His. God will get what is owed to Him, and God will get what is expected from us. God will get honor and glory from His people any way that He can. God will do that. I'm going to say this about an old-fashioned church in a modern world. When I was driving down here this morning, I was thinking about old-fashioned churches. And I grew up in an old-fashioned Missionary Baptist church. And if you could just get in your mind this morning, for those of you that have been there, you know what I'm talking about. But it's the little white church that sits upon the hill. It's not very big. You could probably seat about 75 to 100 people in it. Little church that sits on the hill. It's white. We sing the song, The Old Country Church on the Hill, and I think of that every single time. It's the place where I got saved. It's the place where somebody many, many years ago in 1840 taught the true plan of salvation, and it went on for many, many years. And then the year 2004, the Lord came down in a revival service. The same thing that was taught back in 1840 was being taught in 2004. Long span of years there. But it was still being taught that ye must repent for your salvation. And guess what happened? The Lord saved my soul. Amen. And that is the only kind of salvation that this world needs to be taught about. There are not 15, 16, 20, 30, 50, 100 different kinds of salvation. There is but one. And that is through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the day that I preach anything but that kind of salvation, I want the Lord to take me out of here. Because anything that is standing behind this book board, this church was organized in August of 1972. And I believe from behind, there was no house that used to sit here. They used to teach the same thing in 1972 that's being taught here today. I believe that. And I hope if the world stands to 2,100, whatever it stands to, 2,972, I hope from behind a pulpit with Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, I hope they're still teaching that ye must be born again. I don't want anybody to ever be deceived by the things that this church teaches. It is so important that we stand upon the truth. Because there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right unto mankind. There is. The world looks, they look at old-fashioned. And if you've ever told somebody where you go to church, and you say, well, I go to an old-fashioned Missionary Baptist church, and the first question that they ask you, well, do you have indoor plumbing? That's the first question I have always been asked. Do you go to an old-fashioned Missionary Baptist church? Well, do you have indoor plumbing? I'm going to tell you something today. I believe you can have 700 bathrooms attached to your church. You can be modern or you can be old-fashioned. You can have a fellowship hall and be old-fashioned and modern. You can have a baptistry and be old-fashioned and modern, because you want to know something? The Lord didn't say the church building had specifications. He sure didn't. Now the temple, the things back in the Old Testament, they had specifications. They had things that the Lord wanted to be done. And I'm going to say this about our modern day church buildings. Because these church buildings that we're in, even the one that I was saved in, it was probably built about the 1900s. It was a modern day church building at one time. It had seats, it had lights, it had bathrooms. That was a novelty back then. But I'm going to say today, it's not about this building. What it is about us, the saved people. And you're going to say, about us? You're speaking as though it's about you. No, no, no. It's about the one that lives inside of us. It's about the one that lives down in here. That's what makes the old-fashioned churches. And people are looking. Today they're looking for the modern way. I'm going to say today, the things that a church does is important. I believe the Bible says that His church, His people, they're peculiar people. If you know me, I'm pretty peculiar sometimes. I like to know why, how, what's going to be happening, how it's going to happen. I do, I like that. I think we need to ask questions about things that go on in our churches, about people that are going to preach in our churches. I believe we need to know, because it is so important that the people that get behind this sacred desk teach the truth, because people hear things. I'm going to say this. Once you hear it, you can't erase it. Once it's out there, it's out there. And I don't want anybody to ever hear anything in this church building that confuses them or makes them question their salvation. Because I'm going to say this. Something else that the old-fashioned church stands for that the modern church doesn't know anything about is a no-so, heaven-sent, heartfelt salvation. I want to make a disclaimer also. I believe there have been people that have been saved in all denominations. I believe that. I believe that with everything that is within me. I believe that God can use the gospel. I'm going to read a few more verses of Scripture here in a few moments, and I promise I will not try to worry your patience. But I believe that God can use the gospel, and He can use it to go out and it can prick souls. The Bible says without conviction there is no salvation. If people are not convicted, they will not be saved. Our churches, old-fashioned churches, they need some conviction about them today. They need something about them that lost people know there is a difference about those people. I want to say this. Like I said, I believe that there are some churches that I really wouldn't fellowship. That I believe there are some saved people in there. And I believe their hearts have been fixed. As David said, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I believe there have been some people that's hearts have been fixed in those places. I do. But I'm going to say today you're going to have a whole lot more people that are being saved through and by the efforts of the Old Time Baptist Church than anything else that's out there today. I believe that. The modern world doesn't know truly about a heaven-sent heartfelt salvation. Because why? Because the modern things of this world, they won't last. My cell phone, if you look at it right now, a couple years ago, boy, that was the best thing that was out there. I thought, man alive, I've got the nicest cell phone. It's the best thing. And now it is beat all to pieces. And I'm looking for in the next few months to have to get a new one. That's how life is and how modern things are. They don't last. You look around and the things that have been built by man, they never last. But you want to know something? The same church that the Lord set up many, many years ago is the same lineage of church that is here today. And I believe that with everything that is within me. I believe that our churches can go back and they can look back and they can see back to where the Lord set them up. And I'm going to say this. You're going to say, preacher, I want you to look in that Bible and I want you to see where it says the Missionary Baptist Church is the Lord's church. I'm going to say today we have not always gone by the Missionary Baptist name. It's not popular to say that, but we haven't. The names have changed. They have gone from many different things. If you look back many, many years ago in some history books, you might see that there were a group of people called the Waldenses. They were the Lord's church. They were the Lord's people. The Lord was blessed by them. Can you imagine Mount Calvary Waldens Church today? But that was the name of it back then. The names have changed. But you want to know what has not changed? The doctrines that it teaches. The names can change. The buildings, they can change. They're modern buildings. That's what they are. But the doctrines cannot and they will not change. They can't. The Lord made them. He set them into existence. He set them into motion. And guess what? They will last. There's an old song that we sing. I know. There's no doubt about it. He lives in my soul. And I'm going to shout it. There's a part in there that says, not long ago in an old-fashioned meeting, I knelt on my knees there in prayer. Some people say that this old-time religion, it's just a thing of the past. But in this modern day that we are living, oh, it's the only thing that will last. It's the only thing that will last. I believe that God's church will stand the test of time. I believe that with everything that I have. I don't care what you call it. In 50 years, it may be called something different. But I'm going to look toward what the doctrines teach. I'm going to say this today. I believe that God's preachers are God-called preachers. And I'm hoping and praying that many years down the line, and I believe He's still calling them. And I hope and pray that God is still calling preachers. Paul told them over in Corinthians, he said, I preach not with enticing words, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And I believe today that God's people need to have the power and demonstration laid out for them. I believe that. I love the Lord's church. I really, really do. I'm going to read these verses of Scripture and I'm going to try to close this morning. This message, as I said, is not a popular one. And I hope and pray that it has been useful for someone. You know, I'm going to say today that I believe that the Lord is pleased when His churches are following Him. I believe the Lord is pleased when God's people are following Him. And I truly believe that. And I believe a church that lets God be at the front, I believe is one that God will be pleased with. I'm going to say today that I believe that the doctrines of the church are the things that we must look at. I'm going to tell you some of the few things that we believe. And if you want Scripture for them, you just find me and I'll show them to you. As old-time Missionary Baptist, another question that I get asked all the time. Will you believe that once you get saved, you are always saved? Amen. I believe that my God is big enough to save somebody and save them to the uttermost.
I believe that God is able to save people. And you think about this. If God was not able to do that, what kind of God would He be? The Bible says that if we were able to fall from grace, that it would be, it would put the Lord to an open shame because He would have to go back to the cross and be crucified for you and I once more. And guess what? He's not going back to the cross. The next time that He comes, He's coming for you and I. There's no more crosses. There's no more beatings. There's no more whippings for Him. When the Lord comes back, it's going to be His. There's no way that we could fall from grace. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." The joy can be lost, but you sure can't lose your salvation, because you want to know the underlying theme to all of this. My salvation is not kept by myself. The Lord keeps it. And I'm thankful for that. That's something that we believe. We believe in baptism. We believe in the security of the saints. We believe in the ordinances of the church. I preached a sermon here a few months ago, and we took a few weeks before the Lord's Supper, and I said that there was somebody that I talked to that didn't know there were two ordinances of the church. We still have two ordinances even a few months later. We still got them. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, those are things that we believe in. We believe in the security of the believer. I've told you that one. We believe in the offices of the church. We believe in an ordained pastor and an ordained deacon. I don't believe in ordaining women, and I sure don't believe in ordaining them to be preachers. I don't believe there's ever been a woman preacher that has ever lived. If you know one, ask her to come talk to me, because I've got scripture that shows that she's not supposed to be preaching. I believe that our women folk, I love them dearly. I sure do. I'm going to tell you, the Lord's church has been blessed with good women down through the ages of time. There have been good women that have gotten in the Spirit and have testified, and somebody has been touched to the things that they have said. And I believe it's wonderful when those things happen. I believe women have a place in our church. I sure do. I believe that God has a place for them. I believe He has a work for them. If He didn't, He'd call them right on out of here. But their place is not behind this pulpit. It never has been, and it never will be. I want to read these verses of Scripture to you, and I'm going to close. If you have your Bibles, Romans in the first chapter. Romans in the first chapter. In the 16th verse, Paul said this. Romans, the first chapter, in the 16th verse. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." I'm going to say today that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I told you earlier that I have lost a little bit of sleep over preaching this morning because it's not popular. But I'm not ashamed of what God has said, what God has laid out. The reason that we're in the shape that we're in today as a world, the reason that we have so many organized religions and churches and all of these things that they've come up with, is because people were ashamed of what God said. The things that He stands upon. I believe in the Lord's Word. And I believe with everything that's within me that God's church, I believe we're part of. I believe we are the Lord's church here at Mount Calvary. I told you, we're an old-fashioned church in a modern world. I always want people to say, "Well, guess what? Y'all are a little old-fashioned over there." When people say that, boy, I light up and I say, "Yes, we are. We're old-fashioned, but guess what? We're still preaching and we're still teaching the true plan of salvation." I'm going to say today there are going to be things that people have disagreed on within our churches forever and ever and ever. But there's one thing that God's church has never disagreed on, and that is the true plan of salvation. There's a lot of things that some people believe that I don't believe, that they believe that I don't believe. People are going to have differences. That's part of living in this world. When you begin to, I want somebody to tell me that they can interpret this whole thing perfectly from the front to the back and get it all right, because my feeble mind can't. There's things in here that are hard to understand, that I don't think me and Colin are in the same vein on things. We like to know why, and there's things in there that me and him cannot figure out. Disagreements aren't bad. What happens in disagreements is when people take the disagreements that have no basis, that have no scripture, that have no way of being true, and they venture off into heresy, and those things spring up bad churches, they spring up bad religion. Paul told Timothy, "These things teach and preach."
Read that over in 1 Timothy. You've got to teach and preach against the things of the world and watch and wait. May God bless you. It's our prayer, an old-fashioned church in a modern world. Let us always stand as the Lord's church. Let us go on. I say this a lot. I use this verse a lot. Let us go on unto perfection. Leaving behind the doctrine. Someday you and I will leave behind things of this world. There will be no more Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. There will be no more church in general, because we will be at home with the Lord. We will have left that behind, and we're going to go on unto perfection. Someday after a while, an old-fashioned church in a modern world. May God bless you. As our prayer, let's stand.